today is going to be kind of a set up the rest of the year. So, but before we do that, we have fun in this class. And I do need help. Wait a minute, this is it, yeah. I do need help. But we are going to do our walk through the Bible things much slower than Ken Tuttle did, because my arms were just going like this. And some of you weren't there. That's perfectly fine. You can laugh at us who are there, were there. Sonia, you were with the kids, so did you get to do the motions? Did they? Were you with the little kids? Are the... You were with kids, so they did the motions too. They came and did them for us. So we did the whole Old Testament and walked through the Bible. And if you remember, they pick out certain key happenings in the four sections of the Old Testament. So we're not going to talk about all this. We're just going to do it. Get you one of these little booklets that they had. You can find them now. So we're going to do it. So I think we all need to stand up. And if you can join and just move your hands a little bit, even if you didn't do it, that's okay. You don't want to hit somebody. All right, so what I'm going to do before we start a section, I'm just going to tell you real quick what they are, and then we'll do them. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Okay, remember that? All right, so creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. I don't have a coat on. Very good, very good. See, if I do them slow enough, even those who didn't do it maybe can help. Good job. Elizabeth was there. She knows them all. All right, the next section is the wondering. So Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offering, feast. That's what we're doing. Counting spies, wondering, dying, second law. Okay, ready? All right. Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offering, feast. Oh, yeah, tabernacle goes this way. Okay, offering, feast, counting, spying, wondering, dying. Second law. Very good. That was a little bit more shaky on that, because you don't do that as many times as you do the first one. All right, the promised land is Joseph, divide, conquer, 12, Joshua, divide, conquer, 12 tribes, judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth and Samuel. And we bring Samuel in on the next one. All right. What was Joshua? That's right. See, you can't remember from the next one day to the next. All right, Joshua, divide, conquer, 12 tribes, judges, judges. No, that's Deborah. Judges, that's it. Thank you. Those of you who have lawyer husbands know. Judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, except Ruth and Samuel. Okay, very good. See, I can't tell you that I knew them all. I told you I wouldn't. I'm going to lead you as best I can. All right, now the kingdoms, which is our last section, Samuel starts it. Samuel, United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart, divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. Okay? All right, so Samuel, United Kingdom, a divided kingdom, No, we weren't divided yet. No. Yeah. All right. Samuel, United Kingdom. Saul, no heart. David, whole heart. Solomon, half heart. Divided kingdom, mostly bad kings. They were this way. Bad kings. And prophets speak. Okay. Huh? Got it? Did we do pretty good? I think we did pretty good. All right. Now. Very good. So I want you to know, it's hard to get all that in that little teeny bit of time. But all of us doing it together was fun as well as just exciting to be in the Word. And of course, he taught a whole lot in between that. Okay, one quick hands up. How many of you are new members? How many of you are new members? Raise your hand. I mean, new in the past 2 or 3 years. Yeah, new in the past 2 or 3 years. We've got a good many of them. And we're delighted to have you, and I hope everybody in this room noticed at least one person who had their hand up and will make them feel well and at home. How many of you have never come to one of the Bible studies that I've taught? I have not ever come. Yeah. If you've not come to one of my Bible studies, raise your hand. Okay, that's good. Good to have you. See, I thought you were in last year. You didn't. Okay. Somebody else who looked like you was. So, but welcome. I think what you will find out, all of you, is that I am not a lecturer. I don't stand up here and just talk the whole time. I can't do that. And I can't write, so, you know, there you go. So what I want to do with you is to talk to you and then have you talk to me. And we're going to be doing our study in this book. I just think that the Lord has just brought us to this point, because if you happen to have read her, I think it's the introduction, and if you were at the walk through the Bible, over and over again, we heard that the Bible is a whole, and we want to know the whole picture so that we can get down into the different parts of the Bible. Both she and Phil Tuttle talked about it being a jigsaw puzzle. Harry talked about it being a jigsaw puzzle not too many weeks ago, about how we have to, when we have a jigsaw puzzle, we find the edges first, the corners and then the edges, and then we begin to fill in the pieces and work toward the middle almost. And sometimes we work on the middle, but then we have to pick it up and put it in the middle because we may be working on it someplace else. And so this is a Bible study that's not a general overview of a whole lot of things. But this is a Bible study that's going to focus in on basically, what? One chapter in the Bible. And it's in that book that what happens when you read through the Bible. It's in that book called Leviticus that when we get to reading through the Bible in a year, we get to Exodus and this is good. We're still in history. We're still doing things. God's doing things. The people are doing things. We get to Leviticus and we go, and sometimes we skip over it, or sometimes we just quit. You know, I don't know how many people have quit trying to read through the Bible when they got to these books of Leviticus and Numbers too, but mainly Leviticus. And Leviticus is giving us a lot of the law. Exodus gave us the law, came down, the law, and the law was more, last year we studied the Ten Commandments. But what God gave to Moses as he stayed on the mountain was instructions how to do this law, the little instructions. Now, in our country, what do we have? We have a law, and then we have what? 10,000 pages to tell you all the exceptions and the rules that go with the law. God's not that way. God gave us the law, but he did give Moses things. We're doing good. You need somebody? Oh, okay. Good. We did do the, that's got me trying off track. We did the law, but Exodus continues to tell them how you worship. And he gave them the instructions for the tabernacle and how to build it, what goes in it, and the various things, laws that, you know, went with the other laws. In Leviticus, we began to look at some of the more detailed things, and then we get to Leviticus 23. And we get to find out, how do we worship? What are these special things that God has put in place for the children of Israel to what? To remember who he is. To remember him in the ordinary days of life, in the cycles of life. And so we're going to hear in that first introduction that one of the things that he implants in creation was what? He made 7 days, and what was the seventh day for? Rest. It was a day for rest. And we know, and we're going to learn why we do it now on the first day as we get into this. You probably already know, but this is a rhythm that God put into our life. That we worship, we work, and then we remember him. We set aside a day to remember him so that each week there is a special day for us to honor him and to think about him, to worship him, to learn, to sing praises, to give our hearts to him and to refresh and to renew so that we can do the other days. And so this, I should ask you to remember the Ten Commandments, but the fifth commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's there for us so that, because we will forget. What do? And so often in our day and time, people, the Sabbath is another day. You see it when we come to church sometimes on Sunday night, particularly because we come early on Sunday morning, but on Sunday night or even leaving church, it's like, where are all these cars going? I wish they were going to church, but they're not. And we have, you know, us who go to church, who profess Christ, who love him, but sometimes we don't make it a priority. And so God knows our heart. And so he not only gave the children of Israel the Sabbath and then the 7 years and then the year of Jubilee after 50 years, these times to remember him in special ways, he's also given them these special feasts, these special days where you honor me and where I'm going to teach you other things, where you set aside, you do no work and have a what's called a holy convocation. You don't do your ordinary work, but you set aside a time for him, and you set aside these times in very special ways, as we're going to see, very interesting. And some interesting, and most are things that we would just, they show us about cleansing yourself, that's a metaphor for cleansing your heart. So we're going to be learning about these feasts. Now, without looking at your books and opening them, can you name the seven feasts? So the first one that we have is at the beginning of the year, first month, on the 10th day, the Feast of what? The first one is the Passover. Now, I've got you started, so what comes after the Passover? Oh, you don't even have to name them in order. What are some of the seven feasts that we have? The first fruits. Feast of Booths. And Tabernacles. Feast of Booths. Pentecost. Unleavened bread. We kind of, in our day, we talk about the Passover as being that whole time of the Passover meal and the unleavened bread, but they're two different feasts given in the instructions. So, okay, two more. I think that's what we call Pentecost, I believe. Feast of Weeks, and then what else? The last two come in the fall. Atonement and Trumpets. See, we don't hear about a trumpet. We don't hear about Feast of Weeks. We don't hear about these other feasts. But they're important for us to learn and to study as well. What do you think these feasts and things do? What does the Old Testament do? Let's put it that way. What, you know, you hear it all the time. The Old Testament is points to the New Testament. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so we're going to see as we study, one, first we're going to see, and this studying these things has really awakened the reading of the Old Testament particularly. But I don't see it as close in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, you're going to see and you're going to start thinking days and times and months and days of months. You're going to see what happened later on in history during that time. You're going to see that in the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets, that's when Solomon dedicated the temple. We never think about that, do we? And yet God is so good in the Old Testament to put on the first day or the, you know, whatever day of this month, and you think, because you've been studying this, what feast, what was that? Is that near the feast of this or that? What was it? And you're going to begin to see how these things were kept in the Old Testament, and how the Passover was kept, how it was forgotten. Why did they end up in exile? Lack of obedience to what? To the law, but particularly, you will stay 70 years because for 70 years you have not kept my Sabbaths. There was a reason they stayed that long, and I don't know if that, I haven't ever figured out or haven't ever looked into that. Does that mean every Sabbath in all those years, did that mount up to 70 years, you know? Or is that the seventh year Sabbath or the year of Jubilee Sabbath? We never read that they kept the year of Jubilee. Never read it in the Old Testament. Now, they may have, but we don't, it's not recorded for us. So there was consequences to their actions. There was consequences to, yes, their disobedience, but it was particularly, they didn't remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And if you don't, if you really don't love God, you really aren't going to remember the Sabbath. It's just another day for any kind of activity, work, whatever you want. So these feasts say something in the Old Testament. We don't hear a whole lot about the trumpets. We don't hear a whole lot about, we don't really hear a lot about the Feast of the Atonement. We call it now Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. We don't hear it being celebrated. We hear about the Passover mostly, and some of the others, maybe. But if we read closely, we realize that certain things were done on those days in God's providence and in His sovereignty. Then we're going to look where? To the New Testament and see, because the Bible says that Jesus is that atoning sacrifice for us because He was what? Pardon? He was perfect in holiness. He was righteous, perfectly righteous. There was no sin in Him. And so if He didn't keep the feast, would that be sin? So we see how He fulfills the feast and how He keeps them. We won't see all of them because they're not mentioned in the New Testament, but we realize that He kept the law perfectly. And that includes the feast, which were part of God's law for His people. You have your moral law, you have your civil law, and God gave them the religious law, the ceremonial laws that they kept, and Jesus kept those. So we're going to see how He fulfilled them. We're also going to see how these feasts, some more than others, point us farther than Jesus coming here on earth, but all the way to the new heavens and the new earth. We're going to see how He how these were things that He used to teach us about what was coming afterwards. And so I think you're going to really, really enjoy learning these things. I have one pamphlet that I glanced at but have not read. But as I was studying again, looked, it gives the references for some of these. And we're going to look at the references in here. But as I was reading this summer, I was going, you know, I knew there was a reason I wrote down what day of the month to the side of my, you know, the margins. I didn't know why and what it was. But now that I'm studying these, look, what was that? Is that the right day? Was it the first day or the tenth day? You know, and look back and go, wow. God, you just learn more and more about God. Because I think it was, I don't know if it's in hers or in this walk through the Bible, but the Bible is written for us to know, I think she mentioned it particularly, is written for us to know what? It is to reveal Him. It is to reveal God to us, right? And it's not for us to get better. Not for us to find out about ourselves, although we will find out about ourselves in that too. But it's written that we might know Him and know His plan for salvation, the perfect plan carried out through Jesus, and what He requires of man. In the book of Job, probably 7 or 8 times, what is the main question that gets asked over and over in the book of Job, from Job and from the advisors who come to him? I'm in Job right now. So, you know, where you are reading is where you think, you know. So what was the question asked there so many times? Well, why was I born was asked, but how can a man be right before God? How can a man be right before God? I think that she's been listening to Harry's sermons, to tell you the honest truth. Because she comes up with things that he says straight from the pulpit. And I think, well, I guess he didn't make them up himself. You know, there are things that are there. So I think you're going to see that. What we'll be doing is, as you have your book or have one to share, how many need to get a book? All right, Debbie. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 at least. 13 maybe. And 2, 13, 14, 15. Debbie, I'm looking at, can't you get them? Debbie?
I can get them. We have two right now.
So the first two there get the next one. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Is there an extra sheet of paper back there on her, in her box? We'll pass the sheet around and maybe you can write your name if you need a book. And I would say 2 or 3 of these others that are missing, probably. Susan's got one. Okay. Yeah. Text number particularly. She can text you. She texts me. We text all the time. Okay. So this is what we're going to, how the book is set up. And I'll give you some hints because, I want to encourage you. The first chapter, the first week is not on a feast. But it's helping us learn how to interpret Scripture. It's on hermeneutics, that big word. It's not really so bad. But she's going to give you some lessons on hermeneutics, and we'll talk about that next week. She divides it into 5 days. You have questions to answer. You have reading to do. I thought about maybe getting a sheet of cardstock and doing Leviticus 23, but I realized how long it is. It's not going to fit on one page. And just, you know, so you'd have it there and didn't have to turn to it all the time. That's lazy on my part. But you, if you want to type up a sheet and say, okay, I'm going to keep this, and every time she tells me to go to Leviticus 23, I'll go to it. Because it has all the 7 feasts listed, and that's where is our base for what it is. And sometimes she'll say, go and underline every time it's a positive, or every time it's a negative, or something like that. She'll have you write a verse. And don't get tired of this. How do you learn? You learn by repetition. And some of us learn by hearing. Some of us learn by looking. And some of us learn that tactile way by writing. So she uses all of those, I think. Maybe the seeing, maybe not the hearing, because you're hearing her. But so do what she says. I know there's a lot of times I've taken a book like this and gone, or a book where it has questions at the end, and I read, and then I look at the questions and go, yeah. And then I just go on, and I don't do them. But you will receive much more benefit. I mean, when you get to week 7, I thought, I am never going to get all this written. Let's see, where is it? And I had to get up and go someplace else. I mean, I really had to. I had to, was it 7 or it wasn't 8? Which one was it? It was a day of atonement. That's the one that was 7, and I can't find it. You basically wrote where you wrote all. No, this was past. It was. Oh, I think this is it. No. Yeah, but I mean, the page I'm thinking of is 217. Is that the Day of Atonement? Yeah. Okay. Well, you ended up writing all. Almost all. She said she was going to help you. Is that 223? Oh, yes. 223. If you have a book that you can look on, 223, one page. This is not the end. Can't do it while it's up there. Two pages. Three pages. Now, and I thought, do I have to write the whole verse? And then I thought, I can do what I want to, you know. I don't have to be trapped into what somebody says, but there's a lot of writing. Don't give up. I got up and walked around the house because I ate lunch and came back to work on that. But what is it doing? It's putting it in your heart and your mind. Repetition. You're writing it again and again and again. I thought I could have just copied the whole thing on my computer and it'd been a whole lot faster. But that's not what it was for. It's there to teach you and to help you understand. So you'll have verses to write out. You'll have things from the New Testament, things from various spots in the Old Testament, and things that look forward to in Revelation of how this is pointing to what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. So I would encourage you. Like, I had to put continued down here on this one and write in, because there wasn't room to write it all. But I would encourage you to say, I'm going to do this because I really do want to know how God works and what he requires of me in this. Yes, we don't celebrate these feasts nowadays. We have a new Lord's Supper. It replaces the Passover meal. So we'll see things like that. But it will help us understand God's details, his love for his people, his mercy is going to be shown in the atonement particularly. And you know that it is because you've tasted that mercy as a believer. The gospel, she's going to go over the gospel again in chapter 1 several times. If this didn't get to a table, raise your hand to sign up for a book. It didn't get to that back table over there, I think. Did y'all get it up here?
We got it.
Okay, that back table there, I think, didn't get it. This table got it? That table got it? No, well, it'll come to Debbie, so everybody.
We all have it.
Y'all have the book? Okay. All right. So it is, I think it's going to be exciting. I want you all to talk I want you to learn, and I want you to tell me what you're learning. It's just not quite the same. It's not quite the study that I can talk to you for 30 or 40 minutes, because I want you to be able to tell me what you're learning and how it's affecting your life and your thought as you see God's handiwork. It is God's handiwork to look and see how he planned these feasts and use them to bring his people to continually to give him glory throughout the year. You have some at the, you have two New Year's, sort of. You have a religious New Year for the Hebrews, and then you have a physical New Year. And you have a feast at each one of those. You have a lunar calendar, which I don't really know how you tell. I mean, I'm really not real sure what the new moon is. I think it's no moon out there. How do you tell when it's the new moon? I read somewhere here that they begin to look and look for that sliver. Sliver must be the new moon. I look for the full moon on my phone. When it starts getting full, I go, oh, is it a full moon yet? And look on my phone, which tells me when it is. It's not yet, not today. It's still waning gibby something. I can't pronounce it, G-I-B something. And when it's finally full, you realize it doesn't last very long. It's like 2 days. At least this time it was 2 days on my phone. It was full. And then it starts waxing and waning. Yeah, well, waxing is getting bigger, waning is getting smaller. So you see these things. God's remarkable creation, his remarkable plan that didn't come and spring up by surprise that man sinned. This was in his plan. And these were things to point us to Christ. We've done a study in Hebrews at one point in time. All that we see, how Jesus fulfills everything in the temple and in the tabernacle and how he fulfills God's law. And so here we're going to see these particular feasts. Some of them we know about, but most of them we don't really know a whole lot about and why they were even there. So I think that's going to be just a wonderful thing for us to do. I don't want to start what we're doing, and I know it's not as long, but you might be glad to get out a little bit early. I would like to say that a class this big, we still would like to have some lunches from time to time. I think maybe we meet 8 more weeks, and I would like to do a bag lunch twice in that time, where everybody brings your own lunch and we're able to stay here. If we tried to go to a restaurant and eat, even if half of you said, well, I can't go, that's a lot of people and a lot of things to do. But we can do that, or we can say we want something special, and at the end we can pay and have Sherry fix us something special for a lunch for a group like this. That sounds good to some people. We've done a bring pots of chili lunch before and other things. So there's lots of different things we can do to have a little bit more opportunity for fellowship with one another. But a bag lunch is it, and is one of those things that's real easy. Pack a sandwich, pack a, sometimes I get a one of those little cups of soup from the grocery store and go heat it up in the microwave and come back and sit down. So we'll work on some things like that. We end the week before Christmas at the Caroline House. I've forgotten I wrote our exact date down. And I thought about it later. We end November 8th that week. And we also have which I forgot to work out in there. Somewhere along the line is fall break for our students. And I think we can meet, but there won't be nursery. I don't think we have anybody that needs nursery. Your kids, Kelly, are in school, but they would be out of school, which might affect you. But that's if your kids are older. Hopefully it wouldn't affect any of us in here, I don't think. But it's just 1 week that we would be meeting when we wouldn't have nursery available to us. So I think I'll talk to Christy and say, can we still meet? and see if she'll give us that, I think we can. I don't think that's going to harm anything. Any comments or questions? Anything that you might want to say? Some of you may have studied this before. I know Kay studied this before. Anything that you would like to say? How did this affect you? Or what are you looking for in studying this? Yeah, this one, you do the first week at home, and then we'll discuss it and come back with it. And you may have questions as you study it. You may want to tell how it's helped you, and I'll try to bring some extra stuff. Susan, were you going to say anything? No. Anybody else want to say anything? Don't shy away at the work. That's an easy thing to do with a study book. And this is written so that you can do this on your own without a teacher. So this is kind of a different study for us in this class, a little bit different. But we're going to jump right in and see what we can do. So anything else? Any questions or comments? Yes. Oh, yes. I saw that too and I forgot. For Dean. Mm-hmm. He'll be here in the fellowship hall. Dean Hodge has been our flower person for years and years and years. And she would never want something done, but we're doing it to celebrate her. Her health is not to where she'll probably continue, but maybe cut back. I don't really know exactly. But we're going to, Kathy, do you know any more details of why we're doing anything? She is retiring. I wasn't sure. She's retiring from her post.
Well, she's backing out.
Becoming a consultant, retiring from doing it and managing it. She runs the Flower Guild. She also does weddings. She does other things. Most of the people know Dean, and there'll be it's a drop-in. It's a fellowship time to honor her and to tell her thank you, a reception for her. The 24th Saturday, it's not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, from 11 to 12, 10 to 12, 11 to 12 is not very much, 10 to 12 here in the fellowship hall. So, to help bring food or something like that? Okay, there's sign up, you can look on the, yeah, sign up to help bring food, and the way y'all brought food at the Mad Hatter, there was so much food there, it was amazing. And if you saw your Briarwood women's newsletter, all the people that helped in some way, shape, or form, she put everybody's name on there. I was so out of it, I don't know what was wrong with my mind, that I saw the postcard and I never read the back, and I just came in pretty much what I have on now. No hat, no anything. There is a theme for this, Cindy. It is the Mad Hatter. We're doing Alice in Wonderland. We're doing spring dresses and hats and all this, and I thought, oh well, they accepted me anyway. So just read everything from now on. You know, don't be one of those who, well, I didn't see that. We always complain that we put something in, an announcement in, and nobody reads it. So, like sign up for the women's Bible studies. I knew we'd have a lot of people that didn't sign up. It didn't bother me. So I know it's early, but I will give you 10 minutes to fellowship, or you may leave if you need to. 10 minutes. Welcome, Sherby. I miss our ladies, but we'll see what we need to. She has people Zooming last year from South Carolina, from Florida, from somewhere in Tennessee, Zooming in on our class where she is translating, interpreting for them. So, all right, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this study. I know that personally I have benefited and enjoyed all that I have done so far. I just have one more lesson to do. I thank you for the diligence of Erin Davis as she has written this. She is enjoyable to read, and yet she tells it like it is. She gives us the truth, and I thank you for that. I pray that as we study it together, Lord, you would give us insight and the ability to think and to see how these feasts affected your people, Israel, and how they have Jesus has fulfilled them, and how now, even though we don't celebrate these, they teach us about you and about your word. Lord, we love you, and I thank you for each and every lady that's here, and pray that you might keep them and use them in a special way in their families. In Jesus' name, amen.